We started off this Double Your Agency series of YouTube videos and podcast episodes in January, and the first episode was sort of looking at the numbers in December. You can go back and watch and read that one, and we had talked about the challenge of 2023 and our revenue lost and all of this. That was 17 clients. So for those of us looking, we have a nice kind of upward trend in the graph, 17, 18, 21, 22, 23.
I know we're not talking revenue numbers, but I think this is our highest revenue ever for the agency. I think our highest client count. Now the challenge is, how do we deliver on the growth?
Okay, we are doing an April update, and we're growing, and we're feeling the growing pains of growing. So it's good news. It's like this is maybe like a good problem, first world problems or champagne problems episode. But we're going to talk about all of that. So let's start off with just the client count. I think we both felt a little bit weird that we didn't really discuss that in the March update. So we will get right into it. Here, I am going to share my screen for the people that are watching on YouTube, and we will read off the numbers. It is a simple bar graph. We started off this Double Your Agency series of YouTube videos and podcast episodes in January, and the first episode was sort of looking at the numbers in December. You can go back and watch and read that one, and we had talked about the challenge of 2023 and our revenue lost and all of this. And so that was 17 clients. And that count is sort of a mix of paid and content, but that's fine. Like, this whole thing is just about seeing growth. So the if it's plus or minus a couple, not a big deal. So I'm going to read off the numbers. Since December 17, January 18, February 21, March stayed at 21. We added a client and lost. We had our first churn then. April 22, May 23. So for those of us looking, we have a nice kind of upward trend in the graph. 17, 18, 21, 22, 23. You know, net 6, 23 to 17 over about 6 months, which if we continue that pace, which I understand is like kind of silly, who knows what's going to happen? This is business. Anything can happen. But if you continued that and added 6 more to 23, you'd be at 29, which would take us from May to, you know, November. And if in December you added one more, it'd be at 30. That was kind of like our, what I was, I think in the first video, as we joke around about here, I have the memory of a small rodent, so I don't remember. But I feel like I remember in the first video, or at least my feeling was, man, like, this could be tough. We had that churn video being like, oh, like, you can get that growth, but the churn would be tough. But if we can get to 30 by the end of the year, that would be fantastic. And as we'll talk about in the rest of this episode, that would be fantastic from a growth and agency growth and hitting the numbers perspective. It may also be painful from an operations perspective because you have to deal with that growth.
No, I mean, yeah, I agree we're on track. So I think, I know we're not talking revenue numbers, but I think this is our highest revenue ever for the agency. I think our highest client count. Yeah, now the challenge is, how do we deliver on the growth? I think we talked about in the very first video that we knew this was going to be a challenge on the delivery side. So every time we've tried to grow quickly, the challenge has always been, yeah, how do we service all these accounts? So we have limited strategists, we have limited writers, and we had said, in the back half of last year, we made a big investment into hiring and training. And so that we had more writers than we needed at starting the year. But as we keep growing, you start to exhaust some of those additional resources. And I think we're starting to come up to that point where we're just continuing to hire and continuing to train. But you kind of have to do that just constantly, because if we're going to grow another 6 accounts from here, we have to have enough people that are fully trained in our process to be able to service that. And so I think, yeah, I almost think that the challenge now switches more from the lead side to getting more quote unquote leads on the writing and strategist side. Like, I know we made a huge investment coming into the beginning of the year and kind of all last year. I think we had talked about that in the first episode, how in last year, while a lot of people's businesses were down, including ours, we said we had gotten the 40% drop. We made a conscious decision to keep investing in growth and increase marketing spend despite revenue being much lower. And we kind of took a hit profit-wise and just overall in the business short-term last year with the idea that most people are pulling back marketing spend when things are not great and we want to keep investing into it. And that seems to have been paying off. Like all this year, we have gotten, I actually think in the last couple of months, we've gotten a ton of leads. Like if we look at, I don't know if you have our lead count numbers, but anecdotally, we've had more sales calls in the last few weeks than I can remember in a very long time. And so a lot of those, the marketing efforts seem to be paying off. Like we've done Twitter ads that seem to be working and just organic Twitter and LinkedIn posting. That seems to be somewhat working. We have this video series, and while we're not able to really attribute any leads to the video series, what we do know that it's helped us with is hiring. So yeah, on the lead form side and our attribution side, we're not really seeing anyone coming from YouTube, and we're not even hearing conversations that we talk on the sales side that people are coming from this YouTube series. But what we are hearing a lot of is that new writing applicants are coming from this YouTube series. And so it's pretty interesting just for us looking at the data that this is helping attract more people that want to work for us, which is actually a really good thing for us because we're at this stage where if we just keep the lead kind of the lead flow constant and we can really pick up new writers, that's really what's going to help our business throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah. Let's back. I think before we talk about the writing and training issue and challenges and what Benji, you called like deliver on them, on these new accounts, let's finish talking about this growth. So I want to say that we knew going into this video series, and again, I think we discussed in the kickoff first episode of this Double Your Agency series, that this wasn't supposed to be some directly attributable bottom of the funnel thing. Like we said, when we started this, we're doing our own process, SEO, and that's growing. And we're getting like really good rankings, and our rankings keep growing for, by the way, extremely tough terms. Like if you want a challenge in SEO, try to rank for SEO and content marketing terms where your competition is professional SEO and content marketing firms. Like that's different from like ranking for some, you know, like local restaurant, or I don't know, those they hire a bunch of SEOs, but like something where they're just like nobody is doing SEO properly. We're literally competing with professional SEO and content marketers, and so that's one challenge. But that's continued to grow, and you're right.
Well, I didn't even mention that. Well, I said what was working on the lead side was kind of Twitter ads and LinkedIn and posting and that kind of stuff, and we talked about the video series, but. Yeah, on the ranking side, we're doing really well. Some of these content pieces that we invested in, let's say 2 years ago, are starting to rank. And we've been investing heavily in creating new content, going after bottom of the funnel keywords, and then also just updating old pieces and link building to old pieces. And our lead flow has also picked up as a result of that.
I didn't think we were going to go here, but I want to get your opinion. How much of this do you think is the economic wins of like companies investing again versus what we are doing in marketing? Like what if one explanation is, you know, yeah, maybe our rankings have grown a little bit. Yes, we're posting on social more. Like one thing this video series has done is gotten us to be a lot more active posting on social, posting about these videos, but also I started posting a lot more non-video stuff because you're just kind of like in the LinkedIn verse a little bit more. And so you start to think of things to post or whatever. And we've done some videos on like commenting on other people's LinkedIn posts we disagree with. But I can't say, like, it could be a part of it is all this like inflation, economy talk, 2023, companies were pulling back marketing budget. And now some of it could be that they're just putting it back in.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good portion of it. I think we had talked about how we couldn't point directly to the economy last year, but we felt like through conversations that was weighing on the business. And this year, yeah, I think we're seeing the opposite. It doesn't seem like people are really hesitant to spend right now. They want to grow. They're looking for new ways to invest their marketing budget. And yeah, I think just, again, I think the spend and the marketing efforts that we put into last year are starting to pay off this year.
So that's all fine and good. Now, transitioning into this whole issue of delivering and operational challenges on the growth side, let me say what Benji said in a few like direct ways and anecdotes for people. Right now, you know, we talked about that growth. It was like 17, 18, 21, 22, 23 client count. We also have, as a result of this like positive lead movement, a lot of conversations, like active conversations happening right now. Like, you know, people are like at the contract stage before or whatever. If 3 to 5 clients today, and I've said my personal goal, and by the way, these goals, I will admit, are somewhat arbitrary. We don't have some board of directors asking us to hit 30, none of it. We thought this would be a fun way to do some top of the funnel marketing on top of the like SEO and bottom of the funnel nitty gritty that has grown so far, that has led to our growth so far. So these are our own personal goals, right? But the 30, being a 30 at the end of the year, if three or four clients today, which would be a good chunk between 23 and 30, said yes to grow and start, you know, we're recording this at the beginning, at the end of April, so let's say June 1, we could not do it. We would say no. We would take 1 or 2 of them, we'd be super strapped, and we would say no. Like, that's, just to put it on an anecdotal level, like, that's the situation we're in. Which is like, you know, again, champagne problems, like, kind of good to have. Also, like, honestly, like, and maybe someone will judge me
it is a good problem to have.
I feel kind of bad about it, because a part of me is like, man, like, what are we, if 3 or 4 said yes, we should be able to take them. It'd be like kind of a shame if we couldn't take them. But that's the situation we're in now.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think there's a positive to that. Like, kind of always, like, I think one, it's better than being in the opposite position where we don't have enough leads and don't have enough work for everyone. And I think pushing the boundaries on the growth side makes you think of new ways to do things and maybe create processes around things that we hadn't before. So I think kind of always being at that upper limit and still focusing on the hiring and training side, but then I think it'll force us to come up with new processes and new ways to do things that help us increase capacity. And I think when you don't have that growth pressure, you maybe don't do that kind of stuff because things are just working. So I don't know. That's the flip side of it. I actually do think this is a very good situation to be in.
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile for the audience to sort of recap our operational stuff because I imagine some people listening, like, by the way, we know that like clients, current, former, and some hopefully future are listening to this, but like, and I'm going to rant about this in a little bit, but we have had many people be like, just hire. Like, what's the problem, you guys? Like, just hire. And it kind of drives me crazy. But before I rant about that, I need to explain so that everyone listening is on the same page of like what our operational structure is to, as you used the word, like deliver on these clients. So two key roles that we have to deliver: writer and strategist. The key is strategists. Why? Because all of the strategists start off as writers. They can write, and they do write on basically every single one of their accounts. And they also execute the rest of our process of the topic selection, keyword research, analytics, growth, monitoring what needs link building, etc. Like, they execute our process start to finish of identifying, doing the interviews, identifying what keywords would be bottom of the funnel, creating really high quality pieces that sell and position the client's product or service with all the nuance needed to rank and convert. Then they monitor those rankings. They're checking Ahrefs. They're looking at leads, traffic, all of this, and feeding this back in month after month, right? That's the strategist's job. The linchpin of this is writing. If we did not have that as a problem, If our writing was lower quality, I'm just going to say it. If our writing was lower quality, like a lot of other content marketing, you can consider us egotistical for saying it. I will back it up. Not on this conversation, but eventually. Like, if that was not an issue, it is not that hard to teach people and marketers our method of keyword research, bottom of the funnel, pain point SEO. It is not as hard to teach people how to use GA, analytics, whatever. In fact, we have Amethyst, who was featured in a previous episode, there as our GA expert that supports the strategists. And then, like, you know, client management or whatever, there's some soft skills there, but like, you can find people that do that. What we have trouble is finding people that can both write and have that writing taste. Like, what I think of in our process is the Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares or whatever, Hell's Kitchen episodes, if anybody watches those cooking shows, where like that ultimate chef needs to be the final like stopgap before the food goes out to the kitchen. You need to taste it and know like, this is not okay, do this again. That's what the strategist needs to be able to do, is understand that even if they use a writer, is have that level. And that at the grow and convert level takes a lot of training. So our people, like when people are just like, you guys, like just hire. Like they just like don't understand. You're like, why don't you just hire? Oh, you need an editor? Just hire an editor. And we had that whole conversation, right? That we are so careful about that level of writing. How do you write these bottom of the funnel pieces? You know, the differences of writing a piece that's ranking for, you know, IT security software for enterprise. That query requiring like nuanced discussion of, and I just made that up, a client's like enterprise IT security software and just all the like IT nuance that you have to explain there, and not just like from a technical perspective, but also just from like a business perspective of why are they better than other IT security enterprise companies use. And then like getting that just right so that product managers and sales teams and CMOs all approve of the way you position that. Like that's hard to do as an internal employee. People debate what you wrote. They're like, oh, we don't want to say it that way or whatever. We're doing it as an external vendor. Like, and doing that at a high level. And then doing that over and over again, multiple pieces a month for like year or years. And so to do that, like, that's really hard from a writing perspective. That is our bottleneck. David and I spend so much time, as do the strategists, working and training with new writers. Like, just the hiring process, the training, the test project, the first few pieces, like, editing 2,000, 3,000 word posts, getting on Zoom calls to be like, see how this is phrased slightly different and this is needed. Like clients just kind of assume that that's going to be good. And that's good. That's what we want them. We want them to feel like it just like works, right? Like it just like they produce these high quality pieces. But in the back end, to make that happen is not trivial. And that is the hard part. That is the time consuming part. That is slowing down hiring. So when people just tell us, and people have had over the years of like, why don't you guys just like write some, you know, like create a process booklet or something, like to write these process downs. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't work for this level of writing.
Right.
I think the difference in how we're trying to grow the agency out from how I know a lot of people have tried to grow agencies is a lot of agencies will just hire people and then throw them into the role. And they're like in a customer facing position 2 months into their job. And we've heard from multiple clients that we don't want to get fed some junior level person who doesn't do any of the work and doesn't really know what they're doing. And we've wanted to avoid that. And so we have a very rigorous training process on our side where even if we hire someone, it still takes probably 3 to 6 months before they're customer facing or even getting their work delivered to the customer without any other eyes being on. Actually, there's never a case where any other eyes aren't being on it, but where they're pretty much self-sufficient, I would say. And so hiring and training ahead of that has become a challenge. So as we're growing so quickly like this, we're always having to have people that are being trained so that in 3 months from now, they can start working on a new account.
Yeah. And another thing is
that's been the big challenge.
We've had writers say when they start writing with Grow and Convert and they're good, they say, you know what? This writing is not what I normally think of as blog or content writing. This is like landing page copywriting or sales copywriting in the form of blog posts. So And that's true. Because we're going after these bottom of the funnel terms, these are like positioning the product or whatever. That kind of like sales page copywriting, anybody who's done a website redesign and gone through the copywriting process where like everyone in the company is commenting on like the exact phrasing of this homepage, blah, 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 or whatever, like knows that there's a lot of opinions and there's a lot of discussion to get that phrasing of how we're going to position the product like just right. We're doing that in blog post after blog post. So that's hard. And then also like, just the number of people that can do it, that have the talent for it, frankly speaking, is not as high as if you were just doing kind of like these intro level content or like, you know, intro guide to or like whatever. And so that's the challenge. And what I often think about and what keeps me up at night is this part of the business. Is just what if we have 10-ish strategists now that took us years to get to these 10, right? That like fit culturally, that like, you know, have all the soft skills and can do this writing at a high level. And we want to double, means we got to find another 10 and we got to do that faster. And David has been an amazing help on that. And again, like you said, like this video series and us talking about like the business, I think has attracted some really smart and good people to say like, hey, I want to be part of this too, which is awesome. But that's our current challenge, and it's really easy for people to be like, just hire an editor. Oh, I have a good anecdote on this. I had this like kind of family party where a family friend, he's a very successful guy in like the tech and semiconductor industry, and he's like an executive or whatever, and he was just like, David, how's the business going? And I kind of like relayed some of this, like, oh, it's going really well, and like we have this hiring problem, whatever. His mind, it felt like, could not. He didn't even couldn't understand how this is a problem. He was just like, so what do you mean? So like you need to hire? Like, so are you hiring for them? And I was like, you don't understand. It's like not easy to hire for this. Like we got to train them. And he just like couldn't, the conversation was like, we were just like hitting a wall where he was just like, what do you mean? Like you put a job posting out and you hire the candidates. Like you can just like hire them. And you're like, listen.
Yeah, but
like,
I think that's what most people miss is the training aspect. Yeah, okay, it's one thing to hire someone, but it's another thing to train them fully in your process. And I feel like a lot of times companies just throw people into the role and are like, figure it out. And that's why a lot of full-time employees aren't effective until 6 months or a year in their role, because there's a lot of time that they just need to take to figure out the company, what they do, and then also learn their own skills for whatever they need to do on the job. And I think we're taking the opposite approach where we're hiring people that are maybe not as experienced, I would say. I mean, some of the people that we hire are definitely professional writers, but then other people are just people that are really motivated and want to learn how to write. And we're training them into that role. And I think regardless of if it's the professional writer or if it's the someone without a ton of writing background, it still takes about the same amount of time to train them in our own process because the style of writing that we do is way different than what most people are used to.
Yeah. The non-writer we train in writing this and kind of the marketing stuff. The existing writer, we have to untrain the bad habits. And that equals out to a similar amount of time. I mean, I love everyone on the team, but like I really think it's interesting and cool that we've found that we've had multiple people on the team that were not professional writers. And often there's something kind of nice about that. They're just like, one characteristic you didn't mention of them is they're just smart people. Like we need to be able to figure out, like, really good copywriting is not easy. And if that's what we're saying we're effectively doing, that's what the writers are saying, like, oh, this is actually like copywriting in the form of content or blog posts. That requires an ability to like understand the essence of a product. And in fact, in our writing application, we ask them to look at a particular client's like homepage or whatever, and then write a little blurb selling it. And you can see like, there's no time limit. We're just like, check out this client's website and then like write a paragraph or like write a few sentences. And you can see a lot of them are just like not great, to be perfectly honest. And that's a huge filter to where if I just ask the audience here, like sell Gmail. Like, why is Gmail good? Why should I use Gmail? Sell it in like 5 sentences or whatever, like in the comment section or something. Like a lot of, like you laugh, but like a lot of people would struggle to do a really good job of it, of like really being like, if you really sit down and think about it, why is Gmail a good, why is it popular? Like, what are the advantages?
Yeah, why is it better than every other email tool? Yeah.
Right.
It is a challenging task to be able to distill all the benefits.
Yeah. And it'd be like, okay, what are the most important benefits? And then imagine then having to do prioritization in a 2,000 word blog post where you're like, well, this is a nuance. Like, I have this discussion with writers every single day I am working here. It's like, at some point in my day, it's like editing. And almost every time, a discussion we're having with strategists and writers is, this is true. This is a feature or advantage or benefit or differentiator. Is it important enough to put in the intro of the blog post? Or is it a nuance to put later? There's no right answer. Again, client expectation is the piece arrives in my inbox and it is great. And it's the way I would do it. Or maybe it's even, for a lot of clients, it's like better than I would do it. And it sounds great. But they don't understand the workings behind it. It's a lot of effort and a lot of discussion where we're discussing to that level, like this feature or benefit. Does it belong in the intro? I don't know. Like, we're just discussing it. And so to take someone with some talent, like some smarts, to be able to kind of like really grasp that, like when the client, when you do it, here's another example. We base a lot of this writing on interviews. We brag about that. That's really important that we don't ask writers to just like, we don't just give writers a keyword and they go off and they just Google it themselves and regurgitate what everyone else is saying. This is an important part of our process. The interview though, sometimes is a total mess. Like, because think about it. If somebody just interviewed you about like explain Gmail or what, you know, explain your favorite software or whatever, you'd be like, oh yeah. You know, there's this feature and I really like to do this other thing. And wait, hold on. I forgot to explain to you. There's all that jumping around. And you have to be able to kind of like make sense of that and decide which of the pieces that the client said. And then there's a weird power dynamic. They're the client, you know? And so you're like, well, the client said this. And then we have to decide afterwards. And a lot of the editing is like me being like, I know the client said this, but I'm not sure it's actually important. And we have to like kind of suss that out afterwards and then be like, tell the client like, no, this is important. It's hard. And I don't mind it being hard because this is our moat in my mind. Like, you can read the Grow and Convert process. You can do all of these things. You can read our blog and you can figure all of these things out, right? And do it themselves. It's not so easy. It's not so easy to write at our level. It's not so easy to rank for these competitive keywords. And so it's not easy to find and train people to do this. So I don't mind it being hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. But, you know, it's still hard. Like, after we record this, I have like a sheet of things, like a to-do list of editing. And we're like, you know, trying to kick off some new writers that me and David are going to be kind of coaching and mentoring. You know, I don't know. That's the end of my rant.
Yeah, that was a good rant. I actually don't know if I have anything else to add beyond that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the next few months of trying to figure out this challenge and talking through our learnings along the way.
If you like this video, don't forget to subscribe. You can also get the audio-only versions of these shows wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us at growandconvert.com/newsletter for any articles and updates for when these videos come out.